Yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 13 here. Let's just pick up there. We've gone through a ton of things, and certainly this is just another part of what they're going to have coming, that they're going to see. There wouldn't be all these warnings unless these things were going to come to pass. And so we see those things, and we see them in our day too. So we're just in that place where we see more and more stuff just coming against the Lord and coming in that place of the Lord. And Moses warns the people and says, if there arise among you a prophet, and not a good one, or a dreamer of dreams and not good ones, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. And isn't it amazing? He warns them, he tells them, and we know it comes to pass. And it comes to pass in our days too. There's whole channels given over to this stuff. And trouble is, a lot of it's in the name of the Lord, but it has nothing to do with the Lord. But just those things that are just going to be there. We see in 1 John chapter 4, it talks about false prophets. It talks in Acts about false apostles. There was one, Bar-Jesus, that Paul encountered, who was a false teacher, a false prophet, and just prophesying things that were just about other gods and about other ways. It tells us this in Galatians chapter 1. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Just let him be in that place where he's going to be accursed. Certainly not given over, given any place to them. It tells us this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 9. It says let's pick up a little bit above that. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, because that's what they're there for. They're there to deceive. They're there to bring false teachings, false accusations, false directions. Let no man deceive you by any means. And what an awful thing that is to have put in God's word. Let no man deceive you. And the accountability then, we think it's all on the pastors, and we've got to be careful, because it isn't. Because we're supposed to be Bereans who seek out the word of God, who seek out wisdom from the word, who seek out the teachings of the Lord, and we're accountable for what we believe. It isn't the pastor's fault. Certainly he's going to get taken care of. God's going to minister to him, but we have an accountability to stand before the Lord for what we've believed and what we've spread and what we've talked about and where our hearts have gone. So let no man deceive you by any means. And certainly that means that there are going to be men who are going to want to deceive you. Maybe not knowingly, but they're certainly going to do that. For that day shall not come except there first come a falling away, and we're seeing that in that the man of sin be revealed. We know that that's going to come on the horizon. The son of perdition, the Antichrist, is going to come. Apostasy in the church, and we see that happening. We see that coming. And it says, who opposes and exalts himself all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we know that that's going to come to pass in the 3.5 year period before the great tribulation. They kind of separate it between tribulation and great tribulation. To me, it's all tribulation. It's all great. It's all awful, because it's the wrath of God coming out. But he says, remember you that when I was with you, I told you these things. Remember, so that you don't fall into those ways. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he's taken out of the way. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaking of his influence in the church, So when the church gets taken out of the way, then the man of perdition is going to be revealed. He's going to make a peace treaty with Israel. And in the middle of that 3.5 years, he's going to reveal himself. He's going to go into the temple, sit on the throne, and say, "I'm God, you need to worship me." And we see the mark coming. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. And we saw that last night in the teaching in Revelation. Even with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, all with all power and signs and lying wonders. And we see so much of that in the world today. It seems to be on the increase. And they had a stat out that since COVID had started, the interest in demonic, the interest in witchcraft, the interest in satanic worship has more than doubled. Because people left to their own dealings, left to their own emotions, left to their own feelings, are going to gravitate towards something bad. And you know how it is. Once somebody puts a thought in your head, that you just run with it. Or you start thinking too much. And all of a sudden, all these thoughts come in and you have a whole storyline that's going through your mind. And that hasn't come from God. It's just from our own emotions, our own thinkings, the enemy just feeding it. And we come up with all these things that are going on. But it's all demonic. And so the Lord says, resist it. And he's telling them way back here in Deuteronomy. Get rid of it. Get it gone. So it's all the way through Scripture. There's nothing new under the sun. Even though we think we see something new, those things aren't new. They've been around forever. And if those things come to pass, he says in verse 2, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. Notice the progression. You have to know them, and then you start serving them. Isn't that bad? Instead of knowing God and then serving him, you know other gods and you start serving them. And he says, you shall not hearken to the words of their prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proves you, he tests you, he shows you what's in your heart, what's in your mind. He's going to bring those things to pass. God is going to be faithful, even in that place, to show people that they're worshiping something wrong. Isn't it amazing that God would take that much time to show them so that destruction wouldn't come upon their lives? He says, God is going to prove you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He's going to test you. He's going to bring those things to pass. He's not going to bring evil to you. He's going to show you what's in your own heart. And so Moses goes on then and he says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. We've seen this over and over and over. The walking, the fearing, the keeping, the obeying. In the serving, you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet, and he tells us now what to do with these false prophets. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. We really can't do that now because there's laws against us. But in that day, they could. They had the authority. And the one that accused was the one that threw the first stone. But it gets worse. It goes on. He shall be put to death because he has spoken to you to turn away from the Lord your God. And that God considers that the most dangerous things, to turn people away from the Lord. Remember when the disciples were with Jesus and one day the kids came up? And they started rebuking the kids and started pushing them away and say, Jesus is too busy for you. He says, you let him in here. He rebuked them harshly because they were keeping the kids away from him. We've got to be careful who we turn away from the Lord. We don't want to turn anybody away from coming to the Lord. Well, they're too bad. I don't want them to be in my fellowship, so I'll just tell them God doesn't want them. Really? which brought you out of the land of Egypt. God is the one who did that, and he redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust you out of the way that the Lord your God commanded you to walk in, so you shall put the evil away from the midst of thee. And that's what we're to do, is put that evil away from the midst of us, whether it's the shows that we're watching on TV, you know, the shows like Lucifer that's out there, and all those awful things that are just demonic, just introducing kids to things that they shouldn't have to have, that they shouldn't have to know. And parents say, well, we want our kids to be well-rounded. Hello? I want to keep mine from evil. I'd rather say you can't watch that rather than you can watch that and get involved in that stuff. It's just wrong. And if your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, you nor your fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, or nigh unto you, or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other, even unto the other end of the earth, you shall not consent or be willing to enter in with them, nor hearken to them. Not only do you not be willing to listen to them, you don't even hearken to them. You just kind of walk away from the whole situation. But look at what it says. Neither shall your eye pity him, neither shall you spare, neither shall you conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Whoa. Yeah. And we would sit there and say, that's kind of harsh, Lord. But he's trying to show us, in that sense, what a danger it is to enter into these things of being deceived by someone who the Lord has not sent. But you know, if there's that much danger in it, how much judgment is going to come upon those that are promoting it? How much judgment is going to come upon those that are bringing those things to pass, that are speaking of those things on TV and radio shows and in corners and in having seances in their homes? I remember one of the parties I went to as a teenager, still in high school, went to a party because the principal's daughter was in my class, so we had a party at his house. He brought out a Ouija board. And come to find out years later, he was heavy into witchcraft. And just amazing stuff. But the Lord protected me even then, as I look back on it, because I was too busy chasing somebody to sit there and work on a Ouija board. The Lord used a great distraction to get me out of there. Never had to go back to it. But boy, the danger of that. And the danger that's there for the church today. And we're incorporating some things into churches that shouldn't ought to be there. That's why if you're in a church, take care of what you're listening to. Because we know that everybody's susceptible. Be careful that they're teaching the word, preaching the word only, and salvation only by grace through faith. Not any other way. No other means to get to heaven. Oh, you'll be all right. God still loves you. Well, yes, God still loves you, but that isn't all right. Don't let people tell you that it's okay to do. No, it's not okay to do. Because it will damage you. It will damage your kids. It will lead you astray. And he has a very grave warning for those that are leading others astray. And we know that if the danger is there, that we could be led astray. And we know our own minds and our own hearts. If there's something that looks good, smells good, wants to be good, we'll be led astray. Kath and I are reading Pilgrim's Progress. In the place where Christian and Hopeful are walking to the celestial city. And they see a path that's a little more comfortable, that's a little easier. The grass is a little greener. And the path looks a little better. So they take a detour off the narrow path that they're on, even though they've been warned. And God always prepares. And lo, in the midst of it, they fall into a trap. because it's the place of the castle of this giant called despair. And he brings him in and beats him. Just because the path looked better. Just because it seemed to be a better path, and it was flatter, it was easier. Christianity is not hard. We just make it hard. Because of all our goofiness. We just bring things that shouldn't ought to be there. And he says, you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. You who are accusing him are going to be the first one to throw the stone. Oh. And there's a reason for that, so that you won't be deceived. And if you're going to kill something that's dear to you, that's near to you, and yet you push it aside and push it away, you're going to be then first partaker of that, and that's going to keep you, that's going to show you the danger of walking in a wrong direction. And it's going to keep you, and it's going to keep those around you from going in that direction. We're doing the same thing with our justice system in America right now. We're closing jails and we're letting people out. Well, what you did wasn't really bad. We'll let you go. Really? Then why are you in there in the first place? So now instead of taking you to jail, they give you an appearance ticket to let you out so you can keep doing what you're doing. Instead of bringing fear into their hearts that if I get caught, something bad's going to happen. Now there's no fear of it. So we do whatever we want to do. Everything's right in our own eyes. Does it sound familiar? It should. Because that's what Israel went through. That's what we're all going to go through. And that's the danger, even for us in the church, a danger that we're going to be kept by something that's going to hinder us in our relationship with the Lord. And God, in his grace and in his mercy, wants nothing to hinder our relationship with him. He wants to pour out everything upon us and give us everything good. But as he sees us entering in or grabbing a hold of something that's going to be bad for us, he's jealous for us. And he doesn't want that to happen in our lives. And he doesn't want that to come in. And so he says, kill it. Get rid of it. That's how dangerous it is. Well, it's just this little thing. It can't hurt that much. Oh, yes, it can. So you put your hand first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people, because if all the people are involved, they're going to see the danger of falling into something that's wrong, and it's going to keep them from entering in. And sometimes we need those parameters, don't we? Just to say, hey, I can't go any further in that direction. That's wrong. It's going to destroy me. Because you don't enter into sin wholeheartedly. You enter into sin a little bit at a time. Remember how scared you were when the first time you had to tell a lie? Or the first time you stole something? Man. And I'm so glad the Lord is gracious, because the first time I stole something, it was a pack of Lifesavers. I was at a store. And I got home, and brilliance was not part of my program. Because I pulled it out and started eating the things in front of my mother as she was driving me home, and she goes, where'd you get that? I had to have. You know, what do you say? You know, well, I stole it. Where do you think I got it? So what's the first thing she did? Take me back to the store manager. What? Mom, don't you love me anymore? Yes, I love you, and this is going to keep you from doing it again. And we need those lessons. I don't know, single digit somewhere, 8, 9, I don't know.
I did the same thing, my mom did the same thing.
It's good.
I ended up working for that. He was a pharmacist. I ended up working for him.
And it is not child abuse. It's wisdom. But all the people are going to put their hand to it and destroy this that's in their midst. And you shall stone him with stones, that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And all Israel shall hear and fear Notice that the hearing is going to bring fear to them that they won't do it. And such do no more in such wickedness as this among you. And if you shall hear say in any of the cities. So first it was just something that's there. And then it was a single person. And then a whole thing. And now it's a whole city. Whoa. And we say, how could a whole city fall into sin? Hello? Did you ever hear of San Francisco? Won't I have to go any further than that? If you shall hear say in one of your cities, which the Lord your God has given thee to dwell in, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which they have not known. It tells us this in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. If sinners entice you, don't consent to it. Don't be willing vessels to enter into it. Hold your place here. Go to 1 Corinthians. A couple of great scriptures that are there for us. As long as we're in that place, that we really... probably really need to have just for the times that